And we're back with hour number two, Monday, August the 12th, 2019, 16, coming up on 17 minutes past the hour. Hope you're having a great day wherever you are. All right, we've got trivia questions here on the table. Telephone lines are open, 740-383-9944. Tickets to Jack Hanna's Wilds, the Columbus Zoo, and Zumbezi Bay. Does anybody know who the first guest was on Larry King's first national radio show? Who was Larry King's first guest on his national radio show for the Mutual Network? Who was the center square on the 90s version of Hollywood Squares? The center square on the 1990s version of the Hollywood Squares. What did President Harding's mother do for a living? How old was President Harding when he first started to have health issues? Does anybody know that? What was President Harding's favorite drink? Now, there's something you don't learn everywhere. All right, looks like we got a call coming in here. Go ahead, caller.
Yes, for Scott there?
Yeah, this is Scott.
Oh, okay, didn't sound like you.
Yes.
For your information, they're draining on North Main Street here, getting ready to pave the other half.
Oh, they're paving the other half of North Main?
From the city limit, clear on out to the county line, across the railroad tracks here, across William Court Road.
Now, how's traffic there this morning?
It's kind of plugged up. We got a train running, plus waiting on the grinder to go through.
Sounds like it could be a little bit of a mess there.
It's going to be a mess for the next couple of days.
Next couple of days, but the road will be much better for it.
Oh, yes, it will be so much nicer when they get finished.
Absolutely. Well, hey, go ahead.
They're grinding past WMRN and the television station. They're up in there right now. And I don't know whether they're just staying this side of the tracks or whether they're going clear on through. Or maybe they've gone. No, they wouldn't have time because it's just started today. The other side. You know, they blacktopped one half.
Well, there'll be a lot of people happy who say that the roads need fixed around here to see this being done.
Oh, yes, most assuredly.
Well,
I just thought I'd give you a heads up that way. You know what's going on if you're coming out this side of town.
Well, no, I appreciate it. Thank you. Call in anytime.
So we'll talk to you again, Scott.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, there you go. Main Street, seeing some work being done. It's always interesting to hear what's going on in town because, you know, that's what one of the great uses of radio is to hear what's going on around town. Does anybody else have anything interesting to talk about that's going on around town? 740-383-9944. I think there used to be a radio show called Around Town or Around About the Town or something like that. Well, if you just tuned in, Main Street is seeing some road work done, which could really cause some traffic headaches over the next few days, but I think we'll all be better for it, that Main Street will be a little smoother from now on. I was on Main Street a couple weeks ago, and I noticed they had blacktopped part of it. That was awful nice and smooth, and it'll be interesting. Does anybody have any idea? What street would you like to see paved or redone in Marion? A lot of them are getting done, which is nice. 95 Main Street. Is there a particular road that you think really needs to be done in Marion when it comes to repaving? Let me know. 740-383-9944. That always seems to be a big issue when it comes to the town of Marion. We talk about the city quite a bit. Trivia question still out there this morning. Who was the guest on Larry King's first national radio show? His guest. Who was it? Who was the center square on the 90s version of Hollywood Squares? What did President Harding's mother do for a living? Does anybody know? How old was President Harding when he first started to have health issues? Now, obviously, we know that his health issues led to an early demise for the president from Marion, Ohio. But does anybody know what age those health issues started? What was President Harding's favorite drink? Does anybody know that? There's a little bit of history for you. Go ahead, caller.
Center Square was Whoopi Goldberg.
It was Whoopi Goldberg. Now, did you ever watch that version of Hollywood Squares?
Yes, I did.
You know, I thought that was actually pretty well done.
I'm a Whoopi fan. I like her.
Now, do you watch her? She's still on The View, I think.
When I can.
Yeah. You know, that's interesting that that show has survived so long. I don't know how many years it's been on now, but that show's good.
It's very good.
Yeah, yeah. Are you eligible for a prize today?
No, I'm not. I just thought I'd call in.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See, we like those kind of calls, too. You don't necessarily have to win a prize. We just like hearing the answers. It was Whoopi Goldberg. Does anybody remember that when Whoopi Goldberg was the center square on Hollywood Squares? And there was a lot of talk of that at the time, if I remember right, because she was an Academy Award winner. She had won the Academy Award like 8 years earlier and done a lot of movies. And then all of a sudden, she's the center square on Hollywood Squares. The show did go well, if I remember right. So it worked out for her. Whoopi's still working today as the moderator of The View. But the questions we don't have answers for, who was the first guest on Larry King's national radio show? Does anybody know when Larry King started doing national radio, and I believe it was the first national radio talk show, does anybody remember who his first guest was? For the Marion history people, what did President Harding's mother do for a living? Does anybody know that? How old was President Harding when he first started to have health issues? Health issues that would eventually take his life later on in his life. But does anybody know when he first started to have those health issues? What was President Harding's favorite drink? That he liked to drink. See, that's like Trivial Pursuit stuff. That's that stuff that gets stuck in your head that really has no purpose, but one day you'll bring it up at a party. Hey, do you know what President Harding's favorite drink was? Well, maybe we'll find out this morning. Bob Hope's famous song, other than Thanks for the Memories, and other than Silver Bells, which is very popular at Christmas, what was Bob Hope's other song that he was so closely known for? Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. What year did the Ohio State Fair move to its current location at the Expo Center? What happened on the eve of World War I at the Ohio State Fair? Something kind of big happened on the eve of World War I at the Ohio State Fair. When was the grandstand demolished at the Ohio State Fair? All we need's a year. Why was 1989 a memorable year at the Ohio State Fair? Memorable in kind of a sad way, but memorable nonetheless. Does anybody know why it was memorable? What year was the Ohio entrance constructed at the Ohio State Fair that everybody gets their picture taken in front of. Why was the Ohio State Fair director fired in 1992? I believe it's the only time the Ohio State Fair director was fired. Kind of a big story at that time, back in 92. Does anybody remember why that happened? 740-383-9944. Give us a ring, and we will get you up on the air. Want to remind you, the new hours of the morning show here, for the time being, 8 to 10 a.m. 8 to 10 a.m. We're going to give this a try and see how it works. So 8 to 10 a.m. weekdays here on WWGH Radio. Now, the Adam the Computer Guy show, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp and the professor, Dr. Ron Feynman, will follow this show this morning at 10 o'clock. And that's always interesting to listen to. Always topics of interest. All right, we're going to run these down again. 27 minutes coming up on 28 minutes past the hour. Again, 740-383-9944. Tickets to Zumbezi Bay, tickets to the Wilds, tickets to the Columbus Zoo. Who was Larry King's first guest on his national radio show? President Harding's mother, what did she do for a living? What did President Harding's mother do? How old was President Harding when he first started to have health issues? What was President Harding's favorite drink? What was Bob Hope's famous song other than Thanks for the Memories and Silver Bells, the other song that he was so closely associated with? I'd love to hear that song sang this morning. I love that song that I'm thinking about. Go ahead, caller.
Oh, good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
The only answer I knew was the center square. The other ones I would have to Google, and I'd rather get them off my brain, so I don't know the answers.
Did you like the Whoopi Goldberg version of Hollywood Squares?
No, I'm not a fan of her at all. Paul Lynde had an incredibly unique sense of humor, and his timing was amazing, and he's sorely missed. And if I'm not mistaken, he's buried near Lima or somewhere in northwestern Ohio where he's from.
Now, he did die right after Hollywood Squares, isn't that correct?
Somewhat after, yeah. He was relatively young. I don't know the exact year. Again, I try to give answers off my brain and not Google anything. I don't know the exact year, but it's been a while. I know he's buried somewhere in northwestern Ohio, which is where he's a native of. And unique talent. The chemistry on the, Rosemary, I mean, you know her from speaking with her. We recently lost her. She was great at Hollywood Squares. And, of course, she had Peter Marshall on like last year. He was surprising. I didn't know all the things that he did. I kind of thought of him as being a game show host only. But he's actually much more. So, no, the original was much better. I'm not a Whoopi fan in general. They had some good guests, but it didn't replace the original. And, you know, they would do it outside, and it didn't have the mystique. Whenever they recreate these game shows, that often happens. But I would say Michael Strahan has done a really good job with his recent game show hostings. He's the one host that I like. The rest of them bring back even Wheel of Fortune. Chuck Woolery and Susan Stafford were better. I never liked Pat Sajak. And Vanna, I mean, she's kind of fake, but she does dress nicely.
Now, what does Michael Strahan host?
Which one is it? The Pyramid, I believe. Again, I'm going from my memory. And Donny Osmond hosted another resurrection just called Pyramid. And they kind of made it look more like the original. Of course, the dollar amounts are higher because of inflation. But if I'm not mistaken, and Steve Harvey does Family Feud. I'm not really a fan of him. I miss Richard Dawson. Michael Strahan's pretty good. He's an example of someone who was a great athlete. And, you know, I wear his clothing also. I mentioned that to a friend a couple days ago. That I had like one of his shirts on because he has a line of clothing at Penny's, and it's kind of the kind of clothing I like to wear. So, clothing designer, game show host, businessman. There's someone who really, really went from being an athlete to all around entrepreneur, and an amazing guy. And he's a good game show host also. So,
well, I think he has a...
That's about it for these new game show hosts. Not a Drew Carey fan either. I miss Bob Barker. I like Bill Cullen. He hosted so many good shows. All these old school game show hosts, you know, Match Game. Remember, I'm sure you like Match Game.
Oh yeah, Match Game was very good.
I told you Pat Carroll was on that once, and she was really good.
Well, the Match Game had a unique, take on the game show, to where it was more about the celebrity than the contestant, which I thought was interesting.
Yeah, like Hollywood Squares, just the chemistry there. And Brett Summers and Charles Nelson Reilly, they were hilarious. And then Richard Dawson, when he became so popular, he got his own game show, and of course that was Family Feud. And the upper left square, I remember Bill Macy was on once. He was funny, a lot like he is when he talks to you. So it is kind of interesting. A lot of your celebrity guest people I've seen on Match Game. It's really, it's like I watch it. It's like, well, that's someone who talked to Scott last week. It was kind of incredible.
Well, it's interesting.
I don't know if you ever talked to Fanny Flagg. She was on a few too many times.
Well, I'll tell you, it was interesting because last week seemed to be talk show week on this show. I think we had 1, 2, 3, 4 people who had been a part of talk shows in one form or another.
It kind of happens. I mean, all at once, these people that you have on the air. And Gary Burbank was good. Smart guy. I mean, so creative. I remember the U.S. Senseless Survey with Doc, because Doc was like, you know, was his sidekick, and he was also really funny. And I still think of that. Whenever somebody calls about a survey, I always say, it's the U.S. Senseless Survey, which people would think was the Census Survey. I'm not sure if you listen to his show, but I used to listen all the time, and they were hilarious.
Well, I think he said it best last week, that they weren't trying to be a zoo. They weren't trying to get laughs by doing outrageous things. They were trying to get laughs by having good material.
Yeah, it wasn't the zoo mentality. I mean, no offense to our friend the Weasel. It's a different kind of comedy, a drier humor, and parodies of so many things, like the U.S. Senseless Survey. Earl Pitts, and Gary and all of his voices. Quite a talent, and I'm glad he's doing well. He sounds great.
Well, zoos have always fascinated me. I mean, if people like to listen to them, you know, that's America, and people can choose what they want to listen to. But the thing that always fascinates me about a zoo is the things that they're doing on those programs could be done by anybody, and this is proven true because almost every major metropolitan city has a zoo program. So this is not a unique concept to do, you know, just outrageous things.
Yeah, and it's like the radio stations that, you know, the Jack or the Ted, often it's a man's first name, and it's used as a format. Often it's that we play everything, or they play a broad range of music. You know, Gary Burbank was syndicated for a bit.
Well, the thing about Gary Burbank, as I say, was everybody couldn't do his show because he was doing voices, he was doing writing. These things were written. It was a scripted show. That's a little different than a zoo, and I think there is a big difference between those two things.
Right, and Doc and his sidekicks, and WLW, the kind of station they are, as you know, you probably know, at one time they had 500,000 watts before they had to reduce it to 50,000. At that frequency, they are arguably the most powerful AM signal in the United States, and they do reach almost everywhere east of the Rockies when the sun goes down, and during the day they go from Detroit to probably Louisville. I mean, in Columbus, it's considered a local station. In fact, if you look at the Arbitron ratings or Nielsen, whatever they're called, you'll see WLW be like the third or fourth station from the bottom in Columbus. They're actually more popular than the non-popular station in Columbus because the signal is so good. They are the flagship of the Reds, and they still have unique programming. The Truck and Bozo is another one that the station is known for. And I think Gary Burbank certainly was one of the anchors of that station. And in fact, the mystique of AM radio, which... old-timers like me might remember. I mean, that's all gone now with satellite and YouTube and listening online and the non-traditional ways of listening. But the fact that you could just tune in and hear someone who was funny, and even if you were having a bad day, you'd feel better because you'd laugh. And you'd see yourself in those characters. I think he had that talent. And it was, you know, great to talk to him. He's a real smart guy, and respect him. And he has had an influence on myself, too, because I don't take myself too seriously. So from that regard, he certainly has been an influence. You know, just like your two biggest influences, Phil Donahue, and, of course, I bring up Dick Cavett, who I think is very similar to you in presentation.
And watching
his shows a lot on the retro TV networks, and Ed Sullivan. I was just a little bit too young to watch those when they first came out, but watching them in encores, they are great.
You know what?
Ed Sullivan has on his show.
You know what's interesting, though? When I think about that, I don't know that they were huge influences. Now, that's interesting because Dick Cavett, to be honest with you, I watched very little Dick Cavett. Now, I've seen more Dick Cavett
since... You're not old enough, though. I mean, when he was on the air, I mean, you know...
Right. But, I mean, even when he was doing CNBC in the 90s and he was doing things for PBS and the reruns were on, to this day, to be honest, I've seen very little of Dick Cavett. Now, Phil Donahue, I did see a lot of, but I really don't do the type of show that he did. You knew what his political leanings were, and you knew what his opinions were.
Yeah, well, Dick Cavett was known as being in-depth and cerebral, and sometimes asking questions and asking follow-ups to questions, things that you do. I see so much similarity.
Well, it
could... You know, he's like 5'6" and real skinny, and you're kind of a big guy, so the big difference is your build. That's one of the first things that I noticed. And your voices are different. He has a really unique voice. It's not a traditional broadcasting voice, but it is pleasant.
Well, it's interesting to the point of I don't know if it happened that I'm like them in any way, it must have just happened by osmosis.
I just see the Cavett is so similar, and Donahue with his political slants. But, you know, there are some differences. I mean, Ed Sullivan was a revolutionary also. He had a lot of black performers on, and that was obviously controversial. He was generally applauded or people didn't like it. And I applaud him for it, and I think it was great. He didn't necessarily care. He would put on people that he knew were talented.
So what's coming up on the show this morning?
Was not something that really interested him, and That was great. I admire someone who goes against the grain and looks at the person. And he had you know, young Michael. I just saw the Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5 episode a couple days ago. Did you see these performers before they got really big? And you kind of see why they became big.
So what is on the show this morning, 10 o'clock?
Yeah, well, that was my follow-up. In addition to our official presidentologist, Dr. Ronald L. Fineman, we'll be bringing back for the third time Dan Finaldi. And he is an artist. He lives in the Garden State of New Jersey. We will, of course, be discussing the 117 different Democratic presidential hopefuls. We'll just talk about geography, as I used to live in New Jersey. My dad went to Rutgers, which is actually where Dan went. So we'll talk about the Garden State. It gets a bad rap, as you know, Scott, but it's a much better place than people think it is. And Dan and I both discuss that. Of course, immigration, that's one area where Ron, Dan, and I don't see eye to eye. But we didn't actually debate or argue or shout at each other. We just discussed our opinions and moved on, which was a good thing. And Dan also about art. Again, all the negativity in the world, just like with Gary Burbank and his creative laughter and jokes. Dan with his art, which is just incredible. If you've not already seen it, it's a good way to brighten up your day.
You know, the immigration thing.
That's our show. It will move along quickly and certainly elicit laughter. And possibly some four-letter words directed at the radio if you don't agree with the opinions. But anything we do on this station, we always have fun.
Well, it's interesting to me because the immigration thing, because I heard the program last week where you got into a little bit of a disagreement with...
We don't see eye to eye.
No. But, you know, I was watching last week, and I really have no opinion on this at this particular time, but I was watching the ICE raids that went on last week. and watching the parents being taken away from the children and the children's response. And that's a very hard thing to watch. When you see that,
it's a very hard thing to watch.
And
the kids are caught in the middle, and you don't want to think that they're pawns, but...
Well, I don't know. I'm just saying that I found it a little disturbing that, first of all, that it was being televised because it was horrible to watch, and the fact that it's just horrible to watch. Those are the two things that I picked up on, and that was right here in Ohio. I mean, it happened in Ohio. That's where the raid happened. I don't know how long they'd been here, but I don't know. It's just not fun to watch.
Sensationalism will certainly sell. And it's a sad situation. I mean, immigration, regardless of what side of the fence you're on, or you know, I waver a little bit, like I think most people. It's a serious problem, and it's getting, if that's a word, seriouser.
You know, I don't know. It's a very complicated issue, and I think when people boil it down to a very simple issue, I think that's when it becomes a little arch. Because I think it's much more complicated.
I'm not smart enough to know what the real solution is, but I'm sure our next president will have ideas, and let's see if we can all get along, all realize we're on the same team. Because right now, America, we have a virtual civil war going on in America, as I think you would agree, Scott. Not a real battle war, but in a sense of philosophy and thought, civil war, and that really kind of stinks.
Can we
be on the same team?
But I think we are. But you know what? I think this is it's interesting because over the weekend, one thing I watched was a documentary, and I don't know, it just happened to be on in the background, but it was a documentary about the whole Monica Lewinsky scandal, and way back from the 90s. And the reason it caught my attention was I had forgotten that the reason that whole thing happened was this woman, Linda Tripp, who pretended to be Monica Lewinsky's friend, who took information, taped conversations that they had that Monica did not know that she was taping, and gave them to the special prosecutor. And I had forgotten what I guess how people hated Linda Tripp for doing that. And to me, that's about right. Because now, did President Clinton do something wrong? Yes, he did. Did Monica Lewinsky do something wrong? Yeah, she probably shouldn't have done that. But
it takes two to tangle. Now, he is the president. He was her boss. But
she's
not without guilt either.
But for this woman to record conversations with somebody who she thought was a friend and turn on her like that, for what? I don't even know what motivates people like that. I'm always curious.
She wanted her 10 minutes of fame, Scott. Knowing she would anything with the president, she was going to get it.
Well, it didn't work.
Yeah, but now we have our second showbiz president, and everybody wants a piece of the pie. When you had Juanita Broderick on, did you talk about that at all? Because that might have been a good time to talk about that.
Talk about?
Just the taping and the lying and the impersonation. Did that ever come up when you talked to Juanita? That was a good,
I don't
really
remember.
Good interview.
That's been a long time. You know, all I know is that this Linda Tripp, you know, I don't know why people are so suspicious nowadays. And when you talk about a division in America, that's where I think it is. I think people think everybody's out to do something, and I don't know that that's necessarily true. People will believe anything. You tell somebody something, they'll believe it.
And, you know, today with Snopes and, you know, the fake news, people say, well, Fox News is fake, MSNBC is fake. I mean, who knows? I mean, I think they're all slightly fake. That's why I try to stick with CNN, because they're somewhat in the middle. They're a little bit to the left, but they're mostly to the middle. And we have an instant gratification. It's not a case where you read the paper the next day and find out yesterday's news. You can find out something in seconds. And even the old-fashioned methods, the gentleman who was kind enough to call about the work on Main Street, even that still applies. That's kind of a stop the presses. But with radio being live, that's great. And I thank him for calling. And that just shows the value of radio, that it's still, radio's not going away. In fact, local programming like this, that's community-oriented, yet has an impact, intrigue anywhere in the world. It's only getting better.
Well,
do you have any interesting celebrity guests on the agenda for the rest of the month, Scott? I'm sure you have something in your bag of tricks there. Somebody I'm sure that I would like.
Well, I'm sure somebody will be coming up before the month is over. We're only midway through, but nothing.
I haven't had Pat Carroll on in a while. I hope she's doing okay.
As far as I know. As far as I know, she's doing
like
okay.
92 years old, right?
Yeah, I think so. 91 or 92.
Very spry, though, just like Bill Macy. They both sound great.
Yeah,
I think both excellent guests on Match Game too. It's good to see them, because Bill Macy's a funny guy. And Checky Green, neither of them has lost anything.
No, and I think that radio's a good medium for them, because you just have to be able to talk.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly watched Maude more for Bill Macy and Florida, you know, Esther Roll when she was on early in the show, and Rue McClanahan, of course. So I think Maude, the supporting characters were really good. I always like, you know, Walter's kind of like a lovable loser, a little bit like George on Seinfeld, and some of these lovable loser characters, just like the grouchy person is not quite as grouchy as they seem, and, you know, Lou Grant and Archie Bunker, Fred Sanford, those three. Those are the characters that work so well in 70s TV, and that's why those shows are just timeless.
I wish
Red Fox were still alive. He would be one of the most awesome guests. We lost him so much too early. He would just be one of the best guests ever if you were to interview him. I could just imagine what that would be like.
Well, I think stress killed him when the IRS came after him.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's like again, he joked about saying he had the big one, the big heart attack, and he finally had one. And the people on, I think the Royal Family was the name of the show, they didn't always believe him, and unfortunately he was, you know, the boy who cried wolf, he was being truthful. But during his short life, it was he gave so much to the world in his humor.
Very funny man.
My dad and I used to sit down and watch Sanford and Son and Chico and the Man every Friday, and Chico and the Man, they don't play that in reruns anymore, but Sanford and Son is on TV One, and so I still watch it. And shows I've seen 20 times are still funny.
Well, I think, yeah.
Of course, Aunt Esther, too. She was probably the best character of all in that show. Someone else, you know, Lamont Page, I wish you were still around. Not someone else who would be a good interview.
Yeah, they were good people, good, unique actors. I don't know where those people are today.
Are you a Sanford and Son fan at all?
Oh, yeah, I like Sanford and Son.
Do you like Aunt Esther when she calls Fred a fish-eyed fool and slaps him with her purse?
Well, I think they all... I think the whole Sanford and Son cast was very well cast, with actors who were very unique to the time, but they were well seasoned because of their age, and I don't think there are people like that around today.
Yeah, and the show was very politically incorrect, and political correctness has ruined sitcoms, and it's really a shame. But that's my opinion. You can still watch the old school shows, and I'm sure, again, TV One, Antenna TV, and MeTV are happy to have listeners like myself who enjoy the political incorrectness and sometimes truthfulness of these 70s shows, in which I very, very gladly watch every day.
Well, it's very interesting, and Adam will be coming up here in about 25 minutes. So thanks, Adam.
Thanks for the talk, Scott, and I invite listeners, don't touch that dial. Following the 10 o'clock features will be another great program to stimulate your eardrums and brain cells.
Thanks, Adam.
Have a good day, Scott. Thank you.
All right, Adam the computer guy, Adam Lepp, he will be on here about 10:15 this morning, discussing everything under the sun. Sounds like an interesting show. Mid-morning coffee break, 10:15 this morning. Now, we do have 10 minutes left in this show, and remember, the morning show now is 8 to 10, Monday through Friday. So tell your friends. Who was the first guest on Larry King's national radio show that was on the Mutual Network overnight, 12 a.m. to 5 a.m.? Who was Larry King's first guest? What did President Harding's mother do for a living? Does anybody know that? How old was President Harding when he first started to have the health issues that would eventually end his life later on in life? Does anybody know that? What was President Harding's favorite drink? There's another one for you. President Harding's favorite drink. Go ahead, caller.
I missed what the answer was for the what was Taco Bell called in Mexico. And since you're not asking that question anymore, you must have gotten the answer.
We didn't. Well, no, we never did get the answer, but we went on to 4th of July trivia and other things like that. But I will give the answer now because I don't think we'll go back to it. It was called American food.
Ah, okay.
That's what it was called.
Well, thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Yes, we had that question for quite a while. What was Taco Bell called in Mexico when they tried to open up there on two different occasions? It was just called American food. I think because people in Mexico do not consider Taco Bell to be Mexican food. So it was just called American food. That was the answer. Simple though it may be. All right, phone lines are open, 52 minutes past the hour. What was President Harding's favorite drink? Does anybody know what President Harding's favorite drink was? What was Bob Hope's famous song other than Thanks for the Memories and Silver Bells, which he's known so well for at Christmas time? What was Bob Hope's other famous song? 740-383-9944. So the question's on the table at this point. If you'd like Columbus Zoo tickets or Zumbezi Bay tickets or a ticket to Jack Hanna's Wilds, or if you just want to call in and answer the trivia questions, the questions are right now, what was Bob Hope's famous song other than Thanks for the Memories and Silver Bells, the one he sang all the time? What was President Harding's favorite drink? For you President Harding buffs. How old was President Harding when he first started to have health issues? What did President Harding do, his mother, for a living? What did President Harding's mother do for a living? And who was Larry King's first guest on his national radio show that ran midnight to 5 a.m. overnight? Who was Larry King's first guest on that national radio show? Would have been the mid-1970s for the Mutual Radio Network. 740-383-9944. And we started off this hour with a gentleman who called in letting us know about the repaving work that's being done on Main Street down by the television station and WMRN. And that's going to be nice to have Main Street running a little smoother. But today might be a little difficult to navigate because the work is being done. Has anybody else been over on Main Street this morning or have any information in regard to anything going on in Marion or an answer to the trivia question? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Phone lines are open. We would love to hear from you this morning. Go ahead, caller.
Was Larry King's first guest Don Shula?
Not Don Shula, but that would have been a good guess because he was down in Miami.
Yeah, so was Jackie Gleason because that's how Larry King got a lot of the guests that he had.
That's right, but yeah, it was not Don Shula.
Lucky guess.
It was a good guess. Thank you.
All right.
Bye. Not Don Shula, but Larry King was down in the Miami area. Matter of fact, I know the Mutual show, when it went national, was broadcast out of Washington. But it started in Miami because Larry had been in Miami doing radio when they decided they wanted him to do this national show. So I think he did like the first 6 months from Miami before they moved it to Washington. So that's a little interesting tidbit on that show. But it was not Don Shula. I'm sure Don Shula was probably on early on, but not the first guest. So who was the first guest on Larry King's national radio talk show for the Mutual Network that started in the mid-70s? What did President Harding's mother do for a living? How old was President Harding when he first started to have health issues that would eventually end his life? What was President Harding's favorite drink? What was Bob Hope's famous song other than Thanks for the Memories and Silver Bells, the Christmas tune? What was the other song that Bob Hope was so closely associated with. Now, it was not any of the road songs, although those road songs were very funny. 740-383-9944. If you have any information about anything going on in Marion or an answer to any of the trivia questions, give us a ring or something interesting on your mind on this Monday morning. We would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. Give us a call here at WWGH Radio. And remember to tell your friends that the morning show's new time is 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Just not starting as early as we did back at 6:30 for the first couple weeks. Hopefully that does not tick too many people off. And hopefully you listen in great numbers between 8 and 10 in the morning. All right, are we going to have any more takers this morning? 57 minutes past the hour, only 3 minutes left. Does anybody know the famous song that Bob Hope was known for? Does anybody know President Harding's favorite drink? How old was President Harding when he first started to have health issues? What did President Harding's mother do for a living? Who was Larry King's first guest on his national radio show? Does anybody know that? Does anybody know what year the Ohio State Fair moved to the Expo Center? What happened on the eve of World War I at the Ohio State Fair? We came close to the answer to that one last week. When was the grandstand demolished at the Ohio State Fair? What memorable but tragic event happened in 1989 at the Ohio State Fair? What year was the Ohio entrance constructed at the fair, the big Ohio entrance that everybody gets their picture taken in front of? And why was the Ohio State Fair director fired in 1992? Kind of a big story at that time. 740-383-9944. Give us a ring. We would love to know if you have the right answer. And maybe we can give you a prize, or maybe you can just call in with the correct answer. Also, does anybody, we have the 4th of July question left over. Does anybody know what they do at the Liberty Bell every year on the 4th of July? The Liberty Bell. Don't forget, mid-morning coffee break with Adam Lepp coming up here in just moments, 10:15 to 11 a.m. Then we have Voice of the People with Linda Sims from 4:10 to 5 p.m. today. And the Mike Wilson Show from 5:10 until 6 p.m. You don't want to miss any of those live programs here on WWGH Radio. And if you've won a prize, you can come in and collect that today, Monday, from 4 to 6 p.m. That would be a good time to do it. Well, looks like we are at the end of our string today. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, 8 to 10 a.m. 8 to 10 a.m. Don't forget it. We'll be back with more trivia and more interesting things to do here on The Early Show on WWGH Radio. We always thank you for tuning in, and we hope you tell others to tune in as well. If it wasn't for the audience, highly unlikely we would get together to do this. Hope you have a great Monday. Stay tuned to WWGH Radio.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP Marion, Ohio. For guests like the 40th Treasurer of the United States, Lynn Withrow.
He's so many interesting people.